جزء 17. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, compassionate to all, merciful to each. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the 17th episode in this podcast series titled Journeying Our Eyes Through the Quran, Exploring 30 Juz in 30 Days. Today, inshallah, we will continue our journey through the pages of the Quran as we take a brief look into the 17th Juz of the Quran, which consists of two surahs. Chapter 21, Surat al-Anbiya, which is 112 verses long, and Chapter 22, Hajj, which is 78 verses long. Surat al-Anbiya, meaning the prophets, is called Anbiya because it contains references to 17 prophets, 16 of them by name, and an implicit reference to Nabi Isa alayhi salam through a reference to Sayyidina Maryam salamullahi alayha, giving a grand total of 17. There are only 25 prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, and the surah mentions most of them, which is why the chapter is usually referred to as Anbiya. While the Anbiya, or the prophets of Allah, are mentioned throughout the entire Quran and in various places, they are rarely mentioned in chronological order, with their entire stories of their entire lives told in one place, with a couple of exceptions, like Prophet Yusuf in Surah Yusuf, or Prophet Musa in Surah Qasas, chapter 28. Usually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is that he mentions different aspects about these different prophets in different places throughout the Quran, in order to highlight different aspects of the prophet's message wherever relevant and appropriate. This strategy is in line with the Quran's ultimate goal of guidance and it serving as a light for us, because the point is not topical, but rather the point is guidance. In this particular chapter, there are a few common threads that we can observe with regards to the discussion of the prophets and the subjects which they focus on. One of them is the affirmation that these prophets, these men of God, were human beings. They were men who walked and talked and ate. They engaged in regular human activities. And in addition to that, they also received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moreover, they were all united in their message, which was tawheed, and the ubudiyyah, the servitude and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are meant to be taken as role models. And their stories contain many lessons for us to learn from and emulate. They too faced hardships throughout their lives, but it was none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they turned to in their times of need, and none other than Him who aided them and blessed them in beautiful ways. From their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are beautiful lessons that we can take. The second common thread that we see in this chapter and in these stories is that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid and His beautiful mercy to the 17 prophets. These stories make up roughly half of Surat al-Anbiya, with its discussions beginning in verse 43 and ending in 91. It could be argued that the focus of the set of verses are the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to all of these prophets, and as mentioned in these verses, it's how He stepped in and intervened to help them through their challenges. In one notable story of the trials of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, who is the 10th prophet to be mentioned in the sequence, a beautiful dua is mentioned. Despite facing incredible trials, Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam never failed to see the mercy of Allah, and he was continuously grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. In a very difficult test, after suffering property losses, the death of his children, and then being afflicted with a physical illness, Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cries to his cherishing, nurturing Lord, and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his time of need. And this instance is quoted in verses 83 to 84.
وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍّ وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ.
And remember Job, Ayyub, when he called out to his Lord, "Indeed, distress has befallen me, and you are the most merciful of the merciful." So we answered his prayer and removed his distress, and we gave him back his family along with others like them, as a mercy from us and an admonition for the devout. First in this set of verses, his dua or his prayer is quoted. And in this prayer, there is a beautiful lesson for us. In this dua, Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam doesn't even specify the types of afflictions that he has. He mentions them generally, simply saying that he's hurting. And nimasani adh-dhur. Moreover, he doesn't even ask for them to be removed. But he simply says, O Lord, I'm suffering, I'm hurting. And you are loving, you are merciful, you are the most merciful of the merciful. And this indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his eyes was the most merciful of the merciful, and he would do whatever was fit for Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. And then in verse 84, we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, answers his prayers. And he says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ أُضُرٍ, that we answered his prayer and we removed what was hurting him. We removed his afflictions. And not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces everything that Prophet Ayyub has lost and gives to him more from his special mercy, because indeed he is the most merciful of the merciful. The verse ends off by saying, وَذِكْرَ لِلْعَابِدِينَ. In this story, there is a great reminder for devout worshippers that however great, multiple, and varied their afflictions may be, they will be rewarded abundantly if they are sincere and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly, patiently, and praying with hope to Him, relying on Him, and recognizing His boundless mercy that has no limitation. The stories of these prophets are not mentioned in a vacuum. They are there for us to learn from. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates that He helps and saves the mu'mineen in this exact same way. When He mentions the story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, dubbed the man of the fish, in verses 87 to 88, we hear the following verses.
وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين.
And remember the man of the fish when he left in a rage, thinking that we would not put him to hardship. Then he cried out in the darkness, "There is no God except you. You are immaculate. I have indeed been among the wrongdoers." The famous phrase mentioned here by Prophet Yunus alayhi salam as he's in the belly of the whale is the phrase "La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin," meaning that there is no God but you, O Lord. Immaculate are you. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Indeed, I have done wrong to myself. Over here, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam is speaking about how he should have stayed a little bit longer amongst his people to do what was necessary to save them and to help them in their salvation in his responsibility as a prophet. This particular dhikr, where Prophet Yunus alayhi salam is noting his own shortcomings, is dubbed a dhikr al-Yunusi, or the dhikr of Yunus. It is particularly famous amongst ulama, many of whom encourage its recitation with the presence of one's heart. In fact, some ulama of akhlaq recommend that this phrase be repeated in sajda multiple times, as many times as is possible. Particularly interesting to note is that in the following verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So we answered his prayer and we saved him and we delivered him from the agony that he was in. But the next part is what we were referring to earlier, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it is in this exact way, كَذَلِك, that we save the believers, that we deliver the faithful. This tie that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making here, from the story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam to us as believers, is beautiful. He wants us to connect with Prophet Yunus alayhi salam and for us to realize that even though we may not literally be in the belly of a whale in the way that Prophet Yunus was, in our times of need, where we may feel enveloped in darkness, where perhaps we figuratively feel like we're in the belly of the whale in the depths of the ocean, in these times of darkness, He will save us when we turn to Him with absolute tawheed, confessing our wrongdoing and turning to Him in His absolute mercy. These stories of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, and of the other prophets mentioned in this series are not meant to be taken in a vacuum. They're lessons for us. And this set of verses ends with another beautiful story, a particularly beautiful one of the story of a pious family, the family of Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam, which we will now take a look at.
وزكريا إذ نادى ربه رب لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين فاستجبنا له ووهبنا له يحيى وأصلحنا له زوجه إنهم كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات ويدعوننا رغبا ورهبا وكانوا لنا خاشعين والتي أحصنت فرجها فنفخنا فيها من روحنا وجعلناها وابنها آية للعالمين.
And remember Zakaria when he cried out to his Lord, "My Lord, do not leave me without an heir, and you are the best of inheritors." So we answered his prayer and gave him Yahya, John, and cured for him his wife of infertility. Indeed, they were active in performing good works, and they would supplicate us with eagerness and awe, and were humble before us, and remember her who guarded her chastity. So we breathed into her our spirit, and made her and her son a sign for all the nations. Over here, the story of Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam is mentioned. He was married to Lady Elizabeth, or Hanana in the Arabic tradition, the sister of Lady Anne, or Hannah, who was the mother of Lady Maryam salamullahi alayha, as we mentioned back in Juz 3. The Lady Elizabeth mentioned here and Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam could not have children, and after many years of struggling with infertility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that He responds to their prayer, He cures Elizabeth of her infertility, and He grants her and Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam Prophet Yahya. Here, old age is no impediment, and though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning His divine help and His mercy to this particular family, He makes a point to mention a few qualities about them that were endearing to Him. And what's notable about these verses is that they do not just mention the piety of Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam, but also how the entire family was active in their piety. Using the plural tense, indicating three or more people, the verse mentions that this family were active in good works, meaning the mother, the father, and the child. He says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَحَبًا. That they were active in doing good, and not only were they active in doing good, but they would make dua to us eagerly, in awe, and they were humble before us. This family had this beautiful quality, together as a unit. A pious family is indeed a blessing, and we pray that we too can cultivate beautiful and pious families who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of need, who trust in Him, and who are speedy in doing good work. As we close our reflections on today's juz, let's take a few minutes and try to reflect on the incredible mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our own lives, and the number of times where He has saved us, where He's intervened in our lives, and He's granted us favors from His incredible mercy and love, in ways that we could only begin to comprehend.
والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.